Hi everyone, welcome to TED Talks. Today we're here to talk about the Perceiving Access NESI, otherwise known as Precedent and Possibilities. And so the types that use NESI are the SJs and the NPs. And so the SJs are the ISFJ, ISTJ, ESTJ, ESFJ, and the NPs are the ENTP, ENFP, INTP, and INFP types. And so, Kyle, would you like to take us off?
Yeah. So again, putting us into context, the two functions are both perceiving functions. So this is how we are gaining data from the world and what our brains are noticing and filtering out of that data. So first, introverted sensing is a sensory function, and that means that it is collecting that physical, tangible data that we can taste, touch, smell, feel, all of that stuff. But it's a little bit different than extroverted sensing. Extroverted sensing is kind of what's happening to us. What are we aware of in the moment? Just what just is. Introverted sensing has a little bit more of a story to it, a little more of a context. It is specifically seeing the world and saying, hey, where have I come across this before? It's a connecting kind of function in that way. So it's looking at what have I experienced? Is this normal? Is this unusual? It's kind of that, just looking for those things. So it's keyed in on differences, which is just a little bit different than the extroverted sensing, which is more just, okay, this is what is. So that's why extroverted tends to be more objective in that sense. And introverted sensing is more subjective in that sense, because there's this relation to what am I experiencing? What have I experienced before? How does this fit into what I already know? And sometimes this can be even tied to the sensations that we have inside. So it's like, oh, whenever I'm in the company of these people, I get like tense in my muscles, or like when I'm trying to talk about this, my throat's always getting closed or constricted. So it's like noticing that. We all have those tendencies, but introverted sensing is kind of what notices that. It's like, hey, there's a trend here. Or it also notices things that other people like too. When it's in a higher up position, it can even notice the tendencies of family and friends. And that's kind of why they're often, introverted sensing is often connected to community, or like being good at building community or knowing how it fits in, because it's just so good at collecting data about people as well. Now that's always colored with the judging functions, but it can show up that way. Meanwhile, extroverted intuition is taking all of that fine detailed information that introverted sensing has gathered, and it's looking at the tendencies and trends and saying, okay, where is this going to? How will this result in new possibilities? Where is this going? But not in like the introverted intuition sense where it's kind of narrowing down. It's like, oh, what's the most plausible outcome? Extroverted intuition is just like exploding. It's like, okay, this is the data I already know. It could go this way, or that way. And then maybe we'll go a second level. Okay, if it is this option, now there's five more possibilities of where it's going that way. And it kind of like spiderwebs out. So it can look really random and chaotic, but there is actually a lot of direction to extroverted intuition, because it is still derivative. It's based on the introverted sensing data. So the two of them work together in our perceiving functions to kind of, it's like the difference between acceptance and change, but it's also learning. It's those two together, like, okay, what data do we accept? What data can be changed, or what could happen out of this? What foundations do we build on, introverted sensing, or what needs to be reinvented? And maybe the context is totally different now. And so what are the other possibilities that maybe nobody's considered yet? That's the extroverted intuition part. So they kind of work together to build over time. And there's also a tendency for these two functions to be focused a little bit more on infrastructures And so either governmental infrastructures like hospitals and education system and the things that society has built. And it's like, okay, how can we, what are we noticing about these? What are the trends of this? How is it affecting all the people? Of course, colored by judging functions depends what we do with that data, but it just tends to notice, oh, the school system is creating this outcome. Or social infrastructures like family or family traditions, philosophical or religious infrastructures, all of those things, just tends to notice the effects those things have because they are kind of also built on building tendencies and trends and that kind of thing. And so, yeah, that's kind of how they work together in a nutshell. So if I would describe my extroverted intuition more specifically, what is it actually doing? It's kind of finding all of the little data points that I have, and then it's looking for ways that they connect. Now, I don't do that consciously because it's my driver. It just kind of just happens, and I'm like, oh, I have all these connections. It's like, oh, that reminds me of this, and that's what this means clearly. But it just happens, so it's hard for me. I had to focus to figure out what's really going on. And it turns out like introverted sensing is really indispensable for extroverted intuition to work. Because if I have no data, if I have nothing to base it on, I can't really go anywhere. It's like you need some friction in order to get traction. Or the other metaphor I use is that introverted sensing is like that solid, grounded launch pad that the rocket of extroverted intuition can kind of take off into space and explore from there. But if you don't have anything to push off of, you're kind of just spinning in circles. So maybe there's some healthy, unhealthy dynamics at play there. Introverted sensing also kind of can have a reputation for being boring, which is totally not true. You do have to have patience if they're in an introverted sensing data dumping mode, because they're going to bring out tons of detail and context, which is really important. But for people that don't have that function higher up, it can seem like just a lot of data. It's like, what do we do with this, right? Again, your judging functions kind of color how you respond to that. And so, yeah, it's just very good at seeing how things change over time. It's actually good at being adaptable over time because it gets used to things. The other differences between the two of them, depending on the position they are, surprisingly, maybe counterintuitively, introverted sensing, I've heard, can look the most different from each other. They're the most unique because they key so much in on their own experience and specialization. And so the way they can show up to the world is surprisingly different. Whereas extroverted intuition users, drivers especially, because we tend to all be so broad in our interests and experiences, we try to have as many as possible, it kind of starts looking the same. Oh yeah, you've done this and this and this and this. At least for healthy extroverted intuitives, they tend to gather lots and lots of different experiences over time, and they can look look similar in that we tend to be more polymathic, if that's a word. Yeah, does that make sense, Joyce?
Yeah, extroverted intuition, it's all about those possibilities. And so the polymaths do tend to be the extroverted intuition users because they have a broad range of interests and they tend to rotate between those interests. They're almost like serial monogamous with high frequency when they're an ENFP or an ENTP. And so Kyle, a question I have for you is, how does extroverted intuition show up in different slots of the car? If you're wondering why we're saying car, it's Personality Hacker's way of putting the functions. It's their naming, yeah, their model.
Metaphor. And so I kind of mentioned the driver a little bit already. It's something that we just kind of unconsciously do constantly. So John Beebe also talks about an archetypal model as well that overlays nicely onto the car model. And so I like to think of the driver as our hero, or that's what he calls it. And the hero is just, what do we do when we come into a situation? What do we instinctively go to? It's like, ah, hey, let's bring in the hero. So for an any driver, that means it's, okay, I have a problem here. What are all the possibilities? What's going on? What are these possible outcomes? It colors a little bit depending on what your judging functions are, but very much providing extra data and context and possibilities all makes sense for an extroverted intuitive driver. Now, I already mentioned that bringing in context and maybe data is a little bit drawing on that introverted sensing right away. So we do a little bit of that too, but it tends to be, it's like, okay, what can I possibly do in this situation? What are my options? Kind of want to look at that. So that's just kind of the way of life. And so introverted sensing can kind of get left behind in the dust. For people like me, like I wouldn't even necessarily remember, like, did I brush my teeth already this morning? I have to physically consciously check, or like these tangible physical things, or like I'm going through the day, I'm cruising and I'm missing details because my brain is spinning with the possibilities of things. So it's a lot in the abstract realm. Even though it's an extroverted function, a lot of these perceiving functions, it's like, again, info gathering and info developing, info filtering. And so you can't necessarily see it working unless I talk, which happens a lot too. So extroverted intuitive drivers, if you get them going and they feel safe enough to share, then they'll talk your leg off and it will hopefully be interesting. And if you want to get them going forever, just keep asking questions and they'll talk forever. You know, most of us have also adjusted to society and seen that most people can't handle that and it can be a bit overwhelming. And so then not every ENP is necessarily going to be like super outgoing or like socially extroverted or socially outgoing. We can be in the right context, but not necessarily. We can also go into our own little world. Now, as in the co-pilot position, the other adult in the car, what happens is that you are using extroverted intuition to balance out either introverted feeling or introverted thinking. The judging process that's paired with it in the front seat. And so often what will happen is it's something that these people will go to when they're stuck in a rut, because it's easy for introverts to kind of get stuck either in their heads and not doing stuff about it, or get stuck in the same ways of thinking. So what extroverted intuition does is it comes in, it's like, okay, it's time to experiment, it's time to break up the routine, it's time to stretch the comfort zone of introverted sensing, because introverted sensing in that third position tends to really be attracted to comfort. And what am I used to? What is my natural state of being? Where do I feel good? And so that extroverted intuition as the co-pilot is like, okay, let's leave that. It's nice. We'll pay attention to it for a while. It's good that you're a reliable person, but sometimes it's actually okay to be unreliable, or sometimes it's good to go beyond that. You become more reliable if you have more experiences and see more possibilities. You're not just saying, this is inevitable. There's no way things can change, right? So that's kind of the attitude of those two together. And I kind of described both of them there, both introverted sensing and extroverted intuition. Now we go to the back seat and you have the introverted sensing a little bit higher up in that co-pilot position. And you have the extroverted intuition in the 10-year-old/teenager position. We view it as a teenager. It's probably closer to a 10-year-old. But there what can happen, those people have a driver of either extroverted feeling or extroverted thinking. And what happens there is that they can get stuck in the rut of doing too much or helping too much or being a people pleaser or dominating people, figuring out ways to control other people, or being a complete doormat and just listening to the feedback that they're getting, either extreme, but and maybe a little bit too diffuse and spread out and not really anchored and tethered into something. And so for long-term stability and sustainability, that introverted sensing as a co-pilot function just brings a lot of, I would say stability, because the lower our functions are, the less sophisticated they are. So extroverted intuition as a 10-year-old function is kind of, it's seeing patterns, but maybe not looking at like the third level down the road, or seeing that there are actually like five or six things. Maybe they're seeing, oh, well, there's more than one or two options, and I'll just want to do those. It's like bring a little bit more nuance. You'll improve that ability to see, well, what's going to be the most effective here, or what's going to make the most people happy, or what's going to be the best for the group. Get into that introverted sensing and saying, okay, how has this worked out over the long run for my group, or for these tasks that I have to do? What is the trend over time? Like, maybe I keep on reinventing the wheel so much that I'm losing people, or that kind of thing. So the introverted sensing kind of brings that dose of reality to the situation, and that anchor. So it's really important to develop when it's in that position. Now you bring it over to the introverted sensing into the driver's seat, and the extroverted intuition into the little toddler function in the back. Again, introverted functions can get stuck not doing a whole lot. Extroverted intuition here would color the, just bring some creativity and joy and vibrancy to the things that you're used to, and to all of the massive loads of experiential data that you have in a situation. So instead of thinking things will never change, it's just noticing the little differences. Or if it's cooking in a recipe, often introverted sensing drivers are really good at bringing just a little bit of something to color their cooking. Or it's like, I'm going to use blueberries instead of raspberries this time. Or like just doing the small doses like that. But they're really, really observant. They won't even notice necessarily that they're collecting data about everybody. But if you ask them, hey, like, is this person, let's say for an ISFJ, it's like, okay, what does your friend group think about this movie or something? And then they're usually able to like go through and pick out all the details of everyone. It's like, well, this person tends to react like this in scary movies, and this person, I don't know. That's foreign to me, so like really hard. So I find it harder to describe. But that's kind of in a nutshell how they morph over time. But you can see they're always kind of working together, and they're, even though they look like they're going in opposite directions, like what did it used to be like and what could it be? It seems like opposite, but they play together so well and they mesh together super well. It's really cool to see it in that way.
Well put. And so one of the ways I tell apart high NE versus high SI is for the NP types, they're more likely to do idea innovation. And so they actually are more likely to completely reinvent the wheel, especially if they lead with extroverted intuition as a dominant function. Whereas the higher up your introverted sensing is, you're more likely to be a process innovator. And so you take an existing thing and you tweak it and make it better. So for Kyle's example, taking a recipe and then changing up the ingredients. Another example is you have a system at a workplace that already exists, and you're finding ways to tweak the process to make it better. But your innovations tend to be more on taking what's existing there and then upgrading that in some kind of way.
Also, the introverted sensing drivers have massive advantages in post-processing. So the gold for them and the insights come when they are reviewing what they just went through. So often I'll hear introverted sensing drivers talk about almost like enjoying it even more the second time, or enjoying it once they're reviewing it. And it's like the extroverted intuition will come out when they have time and not like an intense in the moment pressure to perform or something like that. But they can sit, have the space, and then evaluate all those details that they went through. It's like, insight here. This is why that happened. Or, didn't notice that pattern before. That's what's going on now. So if you want someone to like review with you, that might be a really good person to talk about. So yeah, they're still using that extroverted intuition part. And I would say too, for me, I'm drawing on a lot of introverted sensing and using templates, But then I'm layering like 15 different models on, well, not 15. I'm layering like two or three or four different models on something, or just adding lots of things. Whereas the introverted sensing will take like one model and lay it on what they have experienced and seeing how that changes what they perceived in the first time. That's in that post-processing mode. That makes sense.
It very much made sense. And so thanks, Kyle, for coming out and discussing this polarity, as it's very near and dear to home because you use it. And so, yeah, Kyle has a website. You can feel free to check it out below. And so thanks, everyone, for watching. I'll see you all in the next episode. Take care.